British Public Radio.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Well, this week we're continuing our tour of the lavish premises of the independent radio sector. Last week we were at something else. This week we are at USP Content in London West One. And we'd like to thank Merrick and Simon Cross and Rob and everybody here for having us. We're here to talk about an interesting question which has emerged this week. And the question is simply this: what is radio? Now, I'm sorry if that sounds like a sixth form general studies question, what do you understand about the word understand? But it has been thrown into focus this week by the launch of Apple's iRadio. And I've got three people with me who have strong views about this. They may have the same strong view. Let's see. Brett Spencer is here. He's head of digital at BBC Radio 2, Six Music and the Asian Network. Brett, you spoke up about this in Vancouver recently.
I did. We'll get to that, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. Matt Deegan runs the award-winning station Fun Kids. He operates some DAB multiplexes with Folder Media, and he still finds time to write a highly influential blog. Have you actually blogged on this subject this week?
No, though there's one in my head.
I'm sure.
Maybe I'll work out what we talk about now and publish it before this comes out.
And for the second week running, we have James Cridlin, radio futurologist, who kicked this debate off with a spirited rant on his Media UK site. Just before we start, James, I thought you might enjoy this. Yes, any idea who that is?
I've got absolutely no idea at all. It sounded like a noise.
That is the esteemed Ginger Baker.
Yes.
Playing with Cream. And that's his drum solo, Toad. When he played that, the rest of the band walked off. Some would say so did the audience. It was a 20-minute drum solo. Anyway, thanks for your kind comments about Ginger.
Good.
He and his mates will be around very shortly. So
that was in last week's podcast, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yes. Where you appeared on that Skype thing, but we've got you in person this
indeed.
Time. So, radio, what is it? Is it a box that sits on your window ledge? Is it the right word for Pandora and Spotify and Apple's new thing? Is it a delivery system? Is it the content? What do we actually mean by it? And frankly, James, does it matter? Is it just semantics?
I think, firstly, the English language is an interestingly useless language in terms of clarification here, because what radio means is it means three different things. And I think that if we just get rid of two of them, then that helps. So a radio is a thing that picks up a radio station and sits on your shelf in the kitchen and makes a noise. Good. I think we all agree there. Radio is a transmission medium through which you can broadcast on FM or AM or DAB or through satellite or various other things. Good, I think we can agree there. What we don't necessarily agree with, I think, as an industry, is the third one, which, as Cliff Fluett, the media lawyer, said on Twitter recently, it's a format. It's a type of programming, and radio is something which is very different to an algorithmic jukebox, to something that just plays one song by Cream after another.
What a station that would be.
It's very, I think you'd call it Cream Radio.
Cream Rock, perhaps.
I'm sure that one already exists somewhere. So, you know, so that very much is where the debate is whether something that is completely automated, such as Pandora, such as Apple iTunes Radio, such as Google Play Music All Access, any of these things, is that radio or is that not? I say not, but of course they've hijacked our brand, they're using it to promote their stuff.
Brett?
I mean, it's interesting that James says about what we perceive radio to be, but that's not necessarily what the next generation, if you like, perceives radio to be. And we must be careful we don't sound like a load of grumpy old men sitting here trying to hold back the floodgates, if you like. But, you know, there is a generation of people that see music streaming as sitting alongside radio. It was interesting, Trevor mentioned I was in Vancouver last week, and it was interesting to hear radio executives from CBC and from NPR and other places talking about Pandora as radio, as they'd given them that ground. And they talk about Pandora, I think Pandora's got like nearly 8% or 7.5% of the US radio market. And my argument was, well, they haven't. They've got 7.5% of what Tim Davie would call share of ear, but they haven't necessarily got a percentage of the radio market. But it seems that we are starting to give these services that ground, if you like.
Do we call what's on YouTube television, Matt?
I think people call it videos, don't they?
I think they do.
I sat in a focus group once and people were describing music TV as radio. because it fulfilled the same job. And it played some music after each other, and there was some production in there and some ads, and they just saw it as radio. I think we've got to be careful that we keep in touch with what listeners or our consumers think about our medium. Does it matter what radio is? I'm more concerned about whether they bother to listen to us anymore. I think the example is interesting about Pandora in America. So if you don't know, Pandora is a music streaming service which works really well on mobile and on computers, and it's done incredibly well in America. There are some other competitors, you know, you've got Spotify Radio and other bits and pieces, but they have totally owned that sector by being early and delivering a good product. The other thing, that in America you've got XM and Sirius Satellite Radio, XM sort of together, and that's doing a great job, and that's a combination of jukebox services with no ads and lots of speech-based programming. But the reason those two things do well, I think, is because American radio is poor, and there isn't any national radio, and those operators saw some big gaps in the market of ad-free music and broad music services, and they've done really well at it. And I think in the UK it's very different in that we've got a very strong BBC, and because of that, a commercial sector which probably works harder than some territories which don't have it. And so I think we are more protective over radio because we have that share of ear. There's still a lot of listening to it. Whereas in the other countries, maybe they've worked out that they're just playing in a broader pool.
Just going back to what you said there about television, there's an interesting comparison between what's going on here and what's going on with something like Netflix. So if you look at what Netflix has done, they've brought back shows like Arrested Development, they've opened a new version of House of Cards, but they don't want to be known as television because they see television as an old school medium. They want to be seen as the new way to consume content, if you like. So while those, you know, video providers, if you like, don't want to be seen as television, it's interesting that audio providers in the music streaming space want to be aligned with radio to give them that kudos of being that traditional mainstream brand.
I mean, it is amazing, isn't it, that, you know, sometimes we do ourselves down about radio, you know, it's been around 90 years or all of that kind of stuff. And so these cool companies with all this money and all these options of doing whatever they like want to launch a radio service. What is it about the people that are choosing to prioritise audio streaming or whatever that deep down what they really want to be is a radio station?
And audio is not such a cool word. So video is cool and television isn't, but audio isn't. And you've recently at the BBC changed your name, haven't you, from audio and music back to radio.
Well, there is that. Have we loved the word radio enough amongst ourselves? So, you know, as you said, the BBC was called Audio and Music for a long time. And listening this morning, flicking around, listening to Heart and Magic and Capital, apart from Absolute, I didn't hear anybody mention the word radio. Everyone's very good at pushing their brands, but we don't actually love the word radio ourselves much as an industry, and now maybe that's coming back to haunt us.
This was, I think, what you were on about in your rant on Media UK.
Yeah, absolutely,
Jake,
absolutely. I mean, I think just in terms of the YouTube thing, by the way, I think that there's both television and video on YouTube, and I think that actually we do know what the difference is. We do know that the difference between video and television is a production thing. That all of a sudden, when you're watching television, you know that you are going to get a much more richer, produced, cleverer, highly produced thing than if you are just watching a video. And I think that there is a difference there. And that's why I think that there is a difference in between radio and audio streaming services. My point on my Media UK rant, as you so kindly put it, Trevor, at mediauk.com, was that really we are allowing other people to change the definition of radio. Now, there's a question which is, does that matter? My answer to that is yes, it does, because in the same way that companies such as Kleenex, companies like Hoover, are very protective of their trademarks, of what people know that a Kleenex tissue is, of what people know that a Hoover is or a Dyson is, and just in that same way, we shouldn't be allowing people with what is unquestionably an inferior product to radio, if you believe that radio is more than just 10 great songs in a row. You know, we're allowing these companies to come in, use our brand, the brand of radio, and stick that onto something which is a less interesting thing.
But the problem might be that there are in fact some radio brands that are happy to be defined as being 10 songs in a row.
And I think you're absolutely right there. And that's when you then have a look at what the future of radio might be, and particularly when you have a look in the US, and Matt's absolutely right, it's a very different media model in the US, and most radio in the US is dreadful with a capital D. But when you have a look at what's going on in the US, there are lots of radio stations who are losing out because that is their raison d'etre. They sit there and they play 10 great songs in a row every hour all day, to coin a phrase. And so, surprise, surprise, they're losing out from services such as Pandora or Slacker or Spotify, because those are actually doing that job better of playing 10 great songs that I rather like myself nonstop. And so I think that's a big difference from the curated experience. You know, I mean, I define radio as something with human connection and something with a shared experience. I know that other people are tuning into Chris Evans in the morning. I can also hear he is a human. And he is waking up with the same news, with the same information as I am. And that's what makes radio different. And if we allow younger audiences in particular to think that all that radio is some randomly put together songs that don't even segue very well, then I just think we're storing up trouble in the future.
So, Matt, do you think radio is something that, by definition, has programs rather than programming?
I don't know. I don't necessarily feel as strongly as James about music radio in the traditional formatted sense versus stuff with speaking in. I think if you look at what people consume, there is still a decent chunk of hours, of, you know, of the billion hours of listening there is every week, where people want a more music-oriented service. And you know, what's the most successful commercial station in London? Magic. It's more about the songs than it is about what's in between them. However, if I was in that sector, I would be a little worried that some people were going to come along and also do that job. And as we've seen in America, Pandora has also scooped up a lot of those kind of people. So I think radio does different jobs for different audiences. And I think it's sometimes easy that in our kind of slightly metropolitan AB kind of thoughts about this, when we talk a little bit more about Radio 4, you know, the vast majority of the country doesn't, especially in the nations as well, and about what they see as what radio is. I think it's difficult, isn't it? I think it's amazing that these new services only want to fish in that small area, though. Like, if you look at Brett's station at Radio 2, how much consumption there is, you think, well, actually, if I've got infinite money and I could throw it at my new product, can I do something a bit better than, okay, something that works really well off my iTunes library, allows me to skip some stuff and allows me to buy it? Why aren't they putting more effort into creating a more compelling product that they can afford more than maybe we can?
Are we at all distracted, Brett, in our industry by feeling that slight chip on our shoulder that we're a bit old-fashioned, that Matt talked about, and thinking, gosh, we must do more online, we must have more iPlayer kind of stuff and more instantly accessible on-demand radio, rather than thinking, do you know what, the meat and drink of what we do is actually making transmittable broadcast radio.
But I don't think we are old-fashioned, which is why radio has been able to thrive. It's why, you know, it's interesting to see the television ratings falling year on year, but actually radio continues to thrive and you can still get, you know, 8 million people listening to Chris Evans' breakfast show. So I don't think we are old-fashioned. I think we're quite a forward-thinking industry, and that means that other people can enter that space and do things like this. I think one of the interesting things about, you know, what Apple are doing is that they will change the game. I mean, it's not a game changer, but it will change the game in the fact that Apple coming into any marketplace will disrupt the market, if you like. And look what they've done, you know, by offering podcasts. You know, 75% of podcasts have come from iTunes. 63% of digital music is sold through iTunes. 8 out of 10 people that download music do it through iTunes. So what this will do is this will probably bring new people into this space. People who have never listened to streaming music services before will discover it in this way. And the eventual knock-on effect in that space could be that more people start consuming audio online. So for me, it's not so much about what this service represents, but actually how it could change the user habits of people around radio as a whole.
We'll come back to James and Matt for their views on that after we've had this week's news from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
Thank you, Trevor.
Apple has announced the much-talked and blogged-about radio service. It's a streaming music service similar to Pandora and Spotify, offering an ad-free version to iTunes Match subscribers as well. And although it's called iTunes Radio, it's not that much of a threat to our traditional broadcast services, so keep calm and carry on. Keys and Gray are not leaving TalkSport. They are, however, losing their weekday show for now and returning at the start of the new season with a Friday night sport preview show. And Radio Essex has launched on DAB. It's a simulcast of the already fully merged Southend Radio and Chelmsford Radio, but covers the entire county. That's future-proofing in action. And that's all for this week with the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
Thank you, Roy. It's the Radio Today programme this week from USP Content in London. Brett Spencer is here from Radio 2, Six Music and the Asian Network. He looks after their digital inventory. James Cridland is here from Media UK, and so is Matt Deegan from Folder Media. Before the break there, Brett was talking about Apple's iTunes Radio. He says it's not a game changer, but it will change the game. Matt, how do you read it?
Well, the thing that I think is brilliant about it, and actually for the UK radio industry or for the global radio industry, is they are introducing an advertising product. That's good. Quite a lot of UK radio is advertising based. It's sexy. So that's audio advertising being sexy. Good. Like some of that. Also, what they're going to do is they're going to make a product that agencies have to build some systems to support. And when they build some systems to send those audio ads into the iTunes factory, I'm sure their systems will also send it to the Pandora factory. And that means they can also send it to the Global Radio factory and to the Fun Kids factory. And if it means we have...
Other radio stations are available.
You have a factory?
We do, a content factory. But I think what's interesting about that is suddenly you've got a place where these new entrants are creating the infrastructure that will allow us to sell our product digitally. That's got to be a good thing.
James.
Making audio advertising sexier is really interesting here. And it's almost, if you think back to when Classic FM started, there were quite a lot of people who would tune into Classic FM who had never heard a radio ad in the past. I remember going out selling radio advertising on Pennine Radio, on Radio Hallam, and I would talk to some managing directors who had no concept of what a radio commercial could sound like, because they were there tuned into Radio 4 all the time or to Radio Sheffield all the time. So I think that will make a massive change, and it should theoretically mean that creative is much, much better. And by heck, do we need radio creative to be much, much better? So I think that's really interesting. I think the other thing is that this will make a significant change. The difference between Apple iTunes Radio and Pandora is that you have to install Pandora. By the way, I should just point out that neither Apple iTunes Radio or Pandora are available in the UK, and there are no dates for them to be available yet, so we may all be talking about pie in the sky. But the difference between Apple iTunes Radio and everything else is that you install it, is that you don't need to install Apple iTunes Radio because it's already there in iTunes. So if you have a device that runs iTunes, whether it's a PC, whether it's a Mac, whether it's an Apple TV, whether it's one of those phones, one of those iPods, then you will get this service. And I think that will make a tremendous difference, and a scary one, in terms of the amount of scale that Apple can actually deliver with this new thing.
And what will it do to Spotify?
Well, obviously the difference between iTunes Radio is that they're not pushing an all-you-can-eat, listen to any track, you know, it's a radio service. I think it means that Spotify have to up their radio game. You know, they have a product which is an ad-funded product, which a lot of people take, and they've got new competition. I mean, this is the other thing about online music services. They totally cannibalize each other. And none of these three are providing, at the moment, anything that's particularly different. Same with We7 or Blinkbox Music, I think it's called now. And they cannibalize each other. So there's a race to the bottom with price with those all-you-can-eat services, a race to the bottom with price with buying tracks on demand, and a battle over the ad money for radio. I think we're in quite a lucky position in that we've been around a long time. We understand how our bits work. We can do S&P, we can do advertising, we can do all these other things. They're competing with each other much more than they're competing with us.
We'll come to the BBC in a minute. I just wanted to have you speculate for a second on whether commercial radio in the UK will react to this at all.
I don't think that the maths is there. And Phil Riley posted a very interesting thing on Media UK this morning about the costings of how expensive it is to get the music rights for this kind of thing. And I think he says that commercial radio is making roughly 4 pence per minute per hour, and Apple's costs look as if they've, even with their super, super special deal, Apple's costs look as if they'll be about 3 pence per listener per hour. So where do you get all of this money from? So I think actually our hands are a little bit tied in terms of, with music, it's very difficult for us to end up doing that. Now, what I think is interesting is when you start having a look at, can you do the same algorithmic experience of giving me stuff that I like, more of the stuff I like, less of the stuff I don't, with speech? And I think that's where it begins to get really interesting. So NPR have this product in the US called the NPR Infinite Player, which you can play around with. That's very clever in that it's taking an awful lot of the output of NPR, cutting that up into small bits. They've got all of the metadata right and everything else, and you can thumb up and thumb down individual news stories, individual clips from shows. Now, with the BBC's 50 radio stations that cover every length and breadth of the UK, with all of the different content that the BBC produce, an algorithmically formed radio station with little clips of the BBC's output, whether it's from Radio 4 or from Radio Leeds or from Radio Scotland, how exciting would that product be?
Off you go then, Brett.
Just make a note of that. I'll get that done by the end of the day. I wanted to go back to a couple of things that my colleagues have mentioned. Firstly, Matt was talking about Apple. Just to go back to the Apple Spotify thing, I think it's an interesting change of strategy by Apple, because in the Steve Jobs era, he was always, it seemed, against the idea of music streaming because he didn't want to pay the licensing costs. So it's interesting now that, you know, in a new era, they've changed their mind about that because they obviously think it's a market they can't afford to be in, if you like. But I also wanted to share some stats I was looking at earlier this morning about Pandora and where this market's at. So in the first quarter of this year in the US, Pandora, who claimed to have 200 million subscribers, they made $125 million of revenue in the first quarter of this year, but a loss of 28.6 million. So that's really interesting that, you know, and that loss is up on the same quarter last year. It's 8.6 million more than it was last year. So it's interesting that we're talking about this as a business model, but actually there aren't people making huge amounts of cash at this just yet, although Apple clearly feel it's a market they need to be in.
The Radio Today programme.
Brett, what have you been listening to?
I've been listening to a lot of Canadian radio, because that's where I was last week, and a lot of a programme called Q on CBC, which I'm a big fan of, which is a really interesting multi-platform programme. It's on the radio, obviously, but it's also all visualised, but visualised in a really smart, clever way in a studio that looks tremendously good. A wide range of content. So last week they had William Dafoe, they had John Malkovich, they had Bare Naked Ladies, I think, playing live. They had the guy from American Apparel talking about ethical fashion. So a huge range of different content. And I was lucky enough to meet the presenter last week, Jan Gomeshi, who hugely charismatic, terrific interviewer. And this week they've got an hour with Joni Mitchell, who doesn't break cover very often. So that'll definitely be worth listening to. So cbc.ca/Q, highly recommended.
James.
I'll give you cbc.ca/spark, which is their wonderful tech show. It's an hour-long tech show that, frankly, I'm still flabbergasted why there isn't a proper tech show at a sensible time of day on either Radio 4 or on 5 Live.
Hang on, there is
well
a sort of
listen.
Tech show on 5 Live, isn't there? The one that Helen and Ollie are on a Saturday night.
It's not necessarily at the peak times. And Helen and Ollie were very good at Next Radio last year, by the way. You can watch them again. nextrad.io. And the other thing that I listened to this week and have been listening to an awful lot are the tests for Team Rock.
Cream Rock.
Which launches this Sunday at 2 minutes to midnight. We'll be given Iron Maiden's 2 minutes to midnight, which I've already gone to have a listen to. If it was me, it would have been 10:15 on a Saturday night by Cure, but it's still there we are. What I found really interesting, having listened to it, is just the broad breadth of the music that they're playing. playing. Much of it, to me, sounds like grown men shouting, accompanied by guitars, but still...
Well, that sounds right up my street.
I clearly don't quite know
Tell us more, James, what do you mean by broad breadth? Give us examples.
Oh, I mean, you know, it was playing everything from Outkast to some very shouty, very, very heavy death rock. What I found very interesting about it is that I recognised about half the songs. Now, I think that I recognised most music of that type, but I recognised, interestingly, only about half of it. It's been on in the car for the last couple of weeks. My partner loves it, but my partner hates all of the imaging, which she says is very, very laddish. And why can't rock radio stations understand that there are women tuning in as well as men?
Good point.
Which I think is interesting.
Rock and roll.
So it's interesting, obviously, we talked about music services. I've been listening to Kistory quite a bit this week. So this is the Kiss spin-off service that should have been a radio station about 5 years ago. But, you know, it's great that it's there now. Mainly because it does that radio job of connecting you to a different time. And I mainly sit there and annoy the younger people in the office by going, I used to play this on the radio. Or I used to go to nightclubs and dance this. Oh, it's Alex Party again. And they just kind of look at me, probably a bit like James going, I recognise half these songs and I recognise the rest. But I think especially for probably people in their late 20s and 30s, it's a particularly great radio station.
I really must tune in. Is it only an online station or is it somewhere else as well?
So I believe it's on Freeview and online as well. And who knows where it will be next.
Brett, final word.
It seems difficult to imagine sitting here in a couple of years' time with Trevor saying, so what did you discover on your music streaming services this week?
I wonder. This, for the time being, has been the Radio Today programme. Thanks to Brett Spencer, to James Cridland, to Matt Deegan. Thank you to everybody at USP for having us here this week.
It's very nice in here, isn't it?
It is very
very nice.
Lovely.
Excellent sweets.
Did you have one of the lollipops?
Yeah.
You don't get those everywhere.
No.
Thanks to Jamie Taylor, who will have edited this and made it a TDC production by the time you hear it. And above all, thanks to Ginger Baker for this.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.